Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Talking Asset Management with KPMG and our private credit-focused podcast. My name is Pat Brooks. I'm a tax partner based in Chicago, and I co-lead private credit for the firm both nationally and globally. A lot of our podcasts have been focused on U.S. and U.S.-focused issues, but we want to do a different series now, bringing in our foreign member firms. And it's going to be private credit that's focused on what's going on in certain jurisdictions. So today joining me is Pauline Roemer-Bernhardts, who is a tax director based in Luxembourg, but sitting in New York. So Pauline, welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you very much for having me today on this podcast. That's great to be able to exchange on that great topic that is credit fund, especially for Luxembourg, because it's actually the very hot topic of the moment. As we discussed, I am not going to spend too much time on the survey, but because of the survey that KPMG Luxembourg has done this year, we have a lot to say. So I'm going to keep it short, try it.
Let's start with just in general. People say, hey, set up Lux, blah, blah, blah. Why Luxembourg?
Yeah, so that's a very interesting question. So just a few seconds, maybe we can set the scene about the private debt. So because maybe not everyone knows what it is. So private debt is essentially loans given to companies that aren't publicly traded, right? And over the past decade, this sector has been booming. So that's a fact. Booming why? Because the investors are on the hunt for better returns, particularly in this environment marked by rising interest and the economic uncertainty. And because of that, they want to diversify away from the usual bonds and stocks. And so guess what? As you were saying, Luxembourg is often on the map. And that's true because Luxembourg has become a go-to place for the private debt fund. So just two figures from the survey, and then that's it for me. First thing, asset under management for this fund have hit a new record in 2024. So $500 billion. It's a plus 22 raise, a double digit increase. That's a dream, right? That's a dream for all the other asset class. And the European fundraising in private debt, Luxembourg has more than 70% of the market share. So we can say a lot, and indeed we have a lot of data. So just in practice, what does it include in terms of asset? What is really private debt? So what we see is a lot, is a very wide range of strategies from direct lending to distressed debt, all managed right out of Luxembourg. And the question is now, what you just asked, why Luxembourg? Maybe the easiest answer would be to say the regulatory environment, but I will add the regulatory environment and all the ecosystem that Luxembourg has built around. Because Luxembourg has a flexible yet solid legal framework, which is very attractive to the fund managers. So depending on your strategy, direct lending, distressed debt, mezzanine, if you need access to the dual tax treaty network, your investors' location, like for example, the German investors and their reporting obligation, they will probably go for a Luxembourg RIFE. The UK investors and the need for the double tax treaty passport, they might go for the Luxembourg securitization. The size, it also depends on the size of the regional investment platform, notably in terms of substance. Maybe we can discuss this a bit after. There is a right structure in Luxembourg, but there is no one-fits-all solution. So in terms of structure, maybe we can quickly discuss about that. Two categories, maybe. The regulated one. Among the Luxembourg toolbox, you have the RIFE, as I was saying, the Reserve Alternative Investment Fund. It's the star regulated fund in Luxembourg. It has been adopted by the biggest player on the market. It's a hit because it lets funds to get to market quickly while keeping high protection, investor protection. It also allows them to adapt their strategy easily because it is very flexible. But the debt fund, they can also be under a non-regulated AIF, and more precisely, the SCSPs. It's transparent body. So if we can do a comparison, it's like the UKLP or the UKLLP. So it's a transparent body, but with a professional manco. And for us, it represents 63% of the debt fund in Luxembourg. So compared to the regulated vehicle, it's even more flexible, and it's cost effective since they don't have any direct approval from the regulator, reporting or supervision. That's the main point that I could say. It's a fair summary of the market, I think. Luxembourg, it's not just about regulation. It's, as I was saying at the beginning, It's also about the stability, the workforce. It's all the ecosystem that the country has built around the investment fund industry and more precisely for the credit fund. So, and we have a new government, and we know that it's very important nowadays to have this type of government that is really keen on keeping Luxembourg competitive on the global market.
So what kind of pressure does Luxembourg get from the other countries in Europe and competition from the other countries in Europe?
Yeah, I can tell you that the question on substance, since I arrived almost a year ago, it's the most asked question I got. What is the substance requirement in Luxembourg? And that's clear that implementing an appropriate level of substance is essential. And especially if you have to rely on the double tax treaty protection or the EU directive. So it must be appropriate. And again, there is no one-fits-all approach. But if you have a regional platform, investment platform in Luxembourg with multiple type of assets, you will have de facto the appropriate substance because you will need people on the ground. You will need an office, and especially, yeah, with these multiple assets managed from here. But what we do see, and what is very relevant for the private debt industry, is that we see more and more players leveraging on their regulatory employee because they have this professional manco. They need a regulatory employee, enhance the tax substance, and sustain the substance of the SPV. That will be very helpful when it comes, I mean, because we do see indeed an increase of the tax challenge from the borrower jurisdiction, but having the right substance and especially with the regulatory guys on the ground, that will be definitely helpful.
So you're seeing, I guess, when I talk about the RAFEs or you talk about the SCSPs, all those type of structures, what is the biggest struggle? Is it still just substance, or is there other struggles, other things that people need to keep in mind when they set these up to take into account, knowing that, hey, yeah, this is a great place to go, but here's what I have to do?
Yeah, so substance is the key, probably the key point. But as I was saying, there is an easy fix, let's say, with the regulatory guide. What we do see as well, because there is another cool thing with the credit, is the big player, the big investor, the institutional investors like pension fund, insurance company, they are already pouring money into the Luxembourg-based private debt fund. But aside those institutional investors, there is another trend, and this is the retail opening up the credit industry to the retail investors. So the mom and pops investor, we say, right, in the US, I think something like that, like the more everyday investor, they are really looking into the private debt, and because they want better return, they want to diversify their portfolio. So that's the interest, the appetite that we see on the market. This has been made easier because the rules are now easier because of the new product that we see on the market, especially. So we have in Europe the ELTIF, it's the European Long-Term Investment Fund. So it's really specialized for the retail investors. And those products as in a way leading to the fact that the fund manager, they are coming up with new way of, to let them in, meaning that they are creating smaller investment options. So because we have new type of investors, this will be even more important to have a robust regulatory framework, like the new AIFMD2. It's better transparency, better investor protection, because it's the public. It's different than the professional investors. So that's probably the challenge, but it is not really linked to Luxembourg. It's really linked to the investor's status.
Well, you beat me to the punch on retail investors. So you went there before I could even ask you the question. Now that was perfect. Well, look, this is great. Is there any final parting thoughts you want to provide?
No, I mean, I was reading a lot of interviews and information from the player. And a year ago, we were speaking about the golden era, the momentum for the credit. It seems to be no more the golden age. So, a lot to do in the future for us.
That's fantastic. Well, Pauline, thank you so much for your time. And everyone, thank you for listening. And we look forward to you listening again in our future podcasts. Take
Thank you
care.
very much. Thank you.